Good evening. You are all welcome to the another Dhamsabha Mandapaya to learn the Buddha Dhamma and discuss the Buddha Dhamma. We have opened this event. So today, for this discussion, most venerable Srila Malayaka Thero is here, and most venerable Bante Kovida, and venerable Kasapa, and venerable Panyavansa. This is our panel today. So our topic is Agganya Sutta. Agganya Sutta is very important sermon, comes in the Digha Nikaya, that is 27th Sutta in Digha Nikaya. It has a lot of teachings and a lot of things we can discuss. So that is why we have selected it. The Agganya means the knowledge of beginnings. A knowledge of beginnings is the meaning of Agganya. It has, when we look at it, when we analyze it, we find that there are a few things which sometimes controversial, and also some people want to understand about it, that there are things in that sutta. One thing is some people, they think that it is like a Buddhist evolution theory, it says, some people think. But when we find it is not only that, Buddha is explaining how the society is formed, also how the caste system formed, how the political system was formed. All those things are explained in that. And mostly, Buddha emphasize the Dhamma, what is the importance of Dhamma in all those aspects. So that is why this sermon is important. You all aware that when Buddha was in India, when Buddha was born, at that time there was a rigid caste system. There are four castes. They are some of the higher caste and some are low caste. When Buddha started preaching, there are a lot of people who joined the order. That monks, they became monks. Sometimes you find that there are people from the low caste, like the Upali and also the some Sunita and all these characters we find. They are from low caste families. And also there are some others from the Kshatriyas, also there are some others from the Brahmanas. There were two Brahmins who joined that order. So that's Vasita and Bharadwaja. Those two also joined the order. They became monk. One day, Buddha was living in the Migara Mata's monastery. Then Buddha was doing some walking outside. Then this Suvasakar saw the Buddha. Then he wanted to talk to the Buddha. Then he, accompanied by Bharadwaja, went to the Buddha. And he they approached the Buddha. At that time, Buddha talked to them. They asked, Buddha asks, you are coming from Brahmin families. What they tell about you becoming monk? So that time, are they happy or are they abusing you? Then they said that there are a lot of abusing for them. Then, what type of abuse Buddha asked them? Then Brahmin said, they are the the Brahmin said that they are the highest caste. Other castes are base. The Brahmin caste is fair. The other castes are dark. Brahmins are the purified, whereas non-Brahmins are not. The Brahmins are the true children of Brahma, born from his mouth, unlike other lower caste. They imprimented us for deserting the highest caste and going over the lower caste, shoveling petty ascetics, servants, dark fellows born Brahman's foot. They said, it is not right for us to mix with such people. That was the abusive word they used. Because Brahmins were the highest caste, then they are claiming that they are fair and the others are dark, in this way they explain. Then the Buddha, in this Sutta Buddha, explained the human evolution of society, then development of kinship, and the moreover, that the origin of occupation, Buddha explained, not the caste. So that is in this sutta explain. If I am going to tell the summary of that this sutta, then there won't be anything for monks to talk about. So I think we better go for the other monks to say something on this sutta. So first I would like to ask respectfully Most Venerable Nayaka Thero, the one of the main aspect in this sermon, that is the how the evolution of human society explained in this Anguttara Nikaya. So that is the first thing. Diga Nikaya, sorry. Agganya Sutta in Diga Nikaya.
Thank you, Venerable Bandhul Thera. Good evening, everyone. As Venerable Bandhul Thera explained, it's very, very important discourse, as it explains different subjects. Beginning of the everything, explained in this discourse. Everything means the society, the also kinship and etc. And so on and so forth. So evolution. There are two words, very very important two words: sangvatta vivatta. Sangvatta vivatta. Sangvatta means contraction. Sangvatta means contraction. Vivatta means expanse. So these two words are given in the discourse. When the contraction started in the earth, all living beings left this earth, their homeland, and were born in Abhasara Brahma world. In the world system, in Buddhism, there are 16 Brahma realms. One among them is Abhasara Brahma realm. The meaning of Abhasara means luminous. They are luminous. And mind made feeding on delight means pitibhaka. Pitibhaka means their food is rapture or happiness. Also, self luminous. They are like stars, self-luminous, and moving through the air. They can go through the air like birds, luminous, and glorious. These are the characteristics of devas in Abhasara realm. They are the external appearances of the beings or devas at the Abhasara Divyaloka, Abhasara Brahmaloka. Then there was no earth that time, no earth. The whole earth is covered by water. There was only like the sea everywhere. There was no any land at the beginning. So when the expansion of the earth happened, Vivatta, then gradually being come to exist in this realm or in this earth. They have come from Abhasara Brahma realm, not from other Brahma realms. Only they have come from Abhasara Brahma realm. This is very key point. How being were originated on this earth. Buddhist point of view in this sutta says, according to Aghanya Sutta, the first group of beings came to exist from Abhasara Brahma realm. This is very, very important. So, their characteristic, as I mentioned, their qualities having passed from Abhasara realm, they were born, they mind made, feeling on delight, means piti bhaka. They enjoy, or their food is happiness. And self-luminous, same as the Abhasara Brahma, self-luminous, like stars, moving through the air, glorious. So this way, long, long time, they lived in the world, over the earth, in the sky, flying like, going through the air, because they were very subtle. Then what happened after the expansion of the earth? Water gradually absorbed to the earth and disappeared, and the land came to be. Earth started to appear through the water. Then these Abhasara, the first being, they had seen the earth. One of these beings, they had observed the earth, and they had seen a very special patavi rasa. They means they had seen a kind of layer of flavor on the earth, little bit like it says, like butter, like ghee, that kind of savory they had seen. And one among those beings had desire to taste this earth flavory, savory. Then he took little bit from the earth through his finger and tasted, like sometimes we do that. Likewise, that bean also tasted the this flavor of the earth, And he had tasted that. Then, when he tasted, he wanted to more taste it, because desire arises in his mind. Having observed the what he was doing, other beings of these beings, abhasaras, they also imitate or followed him, and they also started to taste this earth flavor, like ghee or butter, like these words are given. Then what happened? Their luminous quality was disappeared. When they had tasted, their luminous quality, they have lost that luminous quality. Before that, there was no sun, no moon. There were no ladies or gents. No moon, no sun. There were darkness. But they lived through is their self luminous. When they lost their luminous quality, they lost their power to go through the air. They lost their power. When we sometimes learn some jhanas, some saints went through the air, levitated. When they lost their jhanic power, they were unable to go through the air. Likewise, these abhasaras lost their power to go through the air, and they came to dwell on the earth. Then sun appeared. Then sun appeared. Then moon appeared as well. Then day and night appeared. Then another thing is, they had developed desire in their mind to eat more and more this flavor. Desire. Then after the savory of earth, gradually after many, many eons, after that, this savory of earth disappeared. Sometimes because due to the sunlight. Because of that, however, this savory disappeared. Then they searched what sort of food they could have. Then they were searching their food. Then they had seen kind of mushroom on the earth. These mushrooms were called Bhumipappataka. That means they had seen ground mushroom. The color, smell and taste, all the qualities impressed their mind, and they started to use for their food this Bhumipappataka. Bhumipappataka is a translation is given like mushroom, like kind of mushroom. Natural things, they are vegetarian. So this mushroom they used to eat for many, many years. After many, many years, these mushrooms were not sufficient for them. They disappeared. Then they had seen kind of creepers. Well, kind of creepers. These creepers were called Badalata. Bada means Badra. Badra means good. Good. Lata means creepers. Well, they had seen these creepers and color and smell and taste. All they were there, and they start to use these creepers for their food. Gradually, these creepers were not sufficient. They disappeared, but when they were searching, they had seen Sayang. They had seen Sayan Janta Hal, means a kind of rice, kind of rice. That is the first time in the history mentioned about rice, what we take for our food. So they used to start this this Sayan Janta, not by cultivated by farmers. They appeared themselves, natural things appeared. Finally, they start to cultivate because the seeds they use, and they started to use. And gradually, what happened, all these foods, their appearance of the body utterly changed because of their food. They lost their luminous quality, and their body became very coarse, very rough. So then in their mind gradually developed some kind of negativities, like desire, like jealousy, conceit, especially conceit. It mentioned the conceit, because some people get more colorful, their skin was shining and more beautiful in the way, some were not. Then conceit developed in their mind, mana, or we are more beautiful than others. This way, the color, different colors appears in their skin, and the natural quality of the body were different, appears in different way. So these the characteristics, different characteristics, made them jealous and conceit, and more. Craving for things. Before that, there were no any differences, any physical differences, men and women. When they started to have this rise, Sayanjata self appeared rise, then they had some kind of sexual desires. Having that sexual desire, they had seen each other. They started to look at the others with desire, sensual desire, looking at others, looking each other, started this desire of sensual develop in their mind. What happened to these people? Their body, that was a main different female characteristics and male characteristic appeared in their body. Until that, they were same, equal. Now, female and male personally or people in the society were seen. Then they started the family life. So far, I have shared something, how family life started, the evolution of the food, evolution of the body appearances, how these beings come to exist on this earth, where they have come. Buddhist theory means, Buddhist idea is, these beings came from Avasara. Thank you.
Thank you, Venerable. According to the Agganya Sutta, most Venerable Nayaka theory explained how this human society evolved. But you all can remember, on many occasions, the Buddha refused to answer a question about the origin of the cosmos. Buddha was saying that speculating on such things would not lead to liberation from dukkha. So in this Agganya Sutta, Buddha is not explaining about the origins of cosmos, because the already beings are here. So it is... It appears and it disappeared. Again it is start. So there is no beginning or there is no end. Because Buddhism not relying on any almighty creator. So that is how it happened. It has some kind of natural process to come to this state. Then now one of the main aspects in the Buddhist teachings, in this sermon, Buddha is giving some kind of answers to some beliefs at that time. Because according to Rig Veda, there are four castes. So, but Buddha, you can remember, he's saying, Na jaccha vasalo hoti, na jaccha hoti brahmano. None is by birth or an outcast, none is by birth a Brahmin. That is according to karma, they become, according to their deeds. So, I would like to ask Most Venerable Kassapa Thero, according to the Agganya Sutta, what is the Buddha's definition of origin of the four castes? And the caste, according to that caste, is not relevant to the attainment. So I would like to ask him to explain about it.
Most Venerable Mahasangha, dear friends in the Dhamma, as it is described in this Agganya Sutta, well, as Venerable Bandhul explained, the main theme of this sutta is to analyze how this caste system came into being. Because Buddha preached this Agganya Sutta, two of his disciples, Vasetta and Bharadwaja, who became monks and who came from the Brahminic caste. And for being monks, Brahmins began to abuse them, scold them, because they regard monks or the Buddha and his followers as outcast people. Well, the history of this caste goes back even before the time of the Buddha. When Buddha appeared in India, even before that time, this caste system was present. As Venerable Bandhula mentioned, during the time of the Buddha and even before the Buddha was appeared, it was Brahmins who had all the authorities in the society. And their texts were called Vedas. You know, there are four Vedas. Rig Veda, Yajurveda, Atharvan Veda, and Shaman Vedas. So those are the four Vedas. Vedas are very, very vast subject, and expand in a wide way, covering all almost all subjects and things are there. So those Vedas were the texts of Brahmins, and they followed it, and they taught it, and they preserved it from generation to generation, and they did everything according to the Vedas, and they learned it. Well, but the Vedas and the teachings of the Vedas were focused, if not all those teachings had been created for the sake of their authority, to keep their authority in the society. So according to the Vedas and according to the Brahmin's teachings, and it is also described in this sutta as well, there were four castes. The Pali word for caste, which is in the sutta, in many discourses of the Buddha, is one, which has been translated as caste. In Sanskrit, it's called Varna. So there were four castes, Chatu Varna in Pali and Chatur Varna in Sanskrit. So those were the four castes which were prevailing in the society at the Buddha's time and even before the Buddha's time. Those four castes were Brahmins, were the top, and then Khatriya, the Pali word is Khatriya and Sanskrit word is Kshatriya. And then Vaishya, Vesa is the Pali word, Vaishya is the Sanskrit word, and Sudra is the Pali word, the fourth caste, and Shudra is the Sanskrit word. So those were the four castes prevailing at that time, at the time of the Buddha and even before the Buddha's time. And these castes were created, if not they were named and they were created and they were assigned duties. Everything was done by the Brahmins because they were the top. They had all authorities, every power, and everything was controlled by them. So according to the Brahmins and according to their text, the first of those four Vedas, Rig Veda. In Rig Veda, they have explained how these castes, if not how the people of belonging to these four castes appeared in the world, on this earth. There's a famous Sanskrit sloka, you all must have heard this. It says the origin of these four castes. It says, Brahmanoshya mukamasid bahu rajanyakruta uru tadasyadvaisya padbyang shudro ajayat. The meaning is, Brahmins were born from the mouth of the Mahabrahma. So they were the top and they were the best people. So they were the top in the hierarchy because they were born from the mouth of the Mahabrahma. Brahmanoshya mukamasit. The second caste, Khatriya or Kshatriya, it says, Bahurajanyakrutak. They were born from the shoulders of the Mahabrahma. So they were the second in the hierarchy because they were born from the shoulders of the Mahabrahma. Bahurajanyakruta. Uru tadasyad vaishya. Vaishya or Vesa is the third caste in the hierarchy, and they were born from the thighs of the Mahabrahma. So due to that reason, they were third in the hierarchy, in the society. And fourth and the last were called Sudra in Pali and Shudra in Sanskrit. Padbyang Shudro Ajayata, they were fourth and the last because they were born from the foot of the Mahabrahma. So due to that reason, they were the fourth and the last of the of this hierarchy. So that was the origin taught by the Brahmins, and it is explained in their text called Rig Veda, the first of the four Vedas, and that's the criteria, that's the origin according to the Brahmins. And Buddha wanted to prove, and Buddha wanted to teach that this is wrong, this is a lie, this is not the right thing, and this is only a creation This is only a fabrication of these Brahmins for their own sake, to keep their grip, to keep their authority in the society. Which is why Buddha, in this sutta, in this Agganya Sutta, gives an analysis, a historical analysis, how all these names came into being. It is not because Brahmins were born from the mouth of the Mahabrahma, they are called Brahmin. It is not because Kshatriyas were born from the shoulders of the Mahabrahma, they are called Kshatriyas. It is not because Vaishyas were born from the thighs of the Mahabrahmin, they were called Vaishyas. It is not true to call that Shudras or Sudras were born from the foot of the Mahabrahma. That is wrong. That is only a lie. And by telling these lies, Brahmins create a lot of bad karmas. That was what Buddha said. And Buddha wanted to show how all these things happen. That's what Buddha did in this Agganya Sutta. And he goes back. That's why he went back to the origin of this earth. How this earth appeared. After something, and how the first beings came from Abhasara Brahma world, and how they started living on this earth, how the changes happened one after the other, and at a later time, there was the creation of these four castes for some fair reasons, and Buddha gives those reasons, and Buddha explained very well how it happened. That is in this Agganya Sutta. Okay, let us go one by one of these four castes, and let us see how they appeared then according to the Buddha's teachings. If we take the first one, the first caste is Brahmins. The Pali word is Brahmana. Translation is Brahmin, we call Brahmin, so they were the first. And according to the Brahmins, they said they are called Brahmins because they were born from the mouth of the Mahabrahma. For that reason, they were called Brahmins, and they had every right to do anything, to do whatever they wish, and to control over others, because they were born from the mouth of the Mahabrahma. And Buddha says that is wrong, this is how it happened. Now, we listen to the explanation given by Bhante Sila Vimala, and he explained well from the beginning of this earth how beings came to the earth, and how they started doing many things, from eating the earth, and then they moved on to eating creepers, and then mushrooms and all. So when they were doing those things, there was a time people started to do good things as well as bad things, evil things, like harming others and stealing and all these things. They started one after the other doing all these bad things. And that was a time, the earth has changed a lot, and the beings who are living on the earth, they also have been changed a lot, and they were simply doing everything. Some were doing good things, some were doing bad things, and the entire society, entire world, entire earth had been changed. And having seen all these things, having seen some people are doing good deeds, some people are doing bad deeds, a group of people decided to go away from this society, because some people are doing bad things, some people are doing good deeds. So a group of people decided to go away from the common society and to live separately, because they did not like others doing bad things. So they wanted to have a good life. They wanted to lead a wholesome life. So they went away from the normal society and started to living separately. And because they did not like unwholesome deeds, they did not like others doing unwholesome deeds, So they wanted to engage in doing good deeds, because they declined, they did not like unwholesome things. And that group of people went to the forest and started living alone, doing good deeds like meditating and living in leading a simple life and depending on simple food and things like that, because they rejected, they did not like others doing unwholesome things, and they wanted to lead a wholesome life. So those beings were called Brahmins. And now if you listen to this Pali term, you can see the similarity. You can see the relationship between these words. In this sutta, Buddha says, Papake akusale dhamme bahentiti ko vasetta brahmana. Now look at these two words, bahentiti ko brahmana. So they were called Brahmins because bahenti is a Pali verb. Baheti means rejects, if not do not like or decline. So they declined, they rejected papake dhamme, unwholesome deeds. Therefore, they were called Brahmins. So that is the reason. Baheti iti brahmana, because they did reject. They were called Brahmin. So that's how this Brahmin group of people became Brahmins. They simply went away, they went to the forests and started doing meditation and all, because they did not like, they rejected, they declined unwholesome deeds. And this group of beings, this group of people were called Brahmins because they rejected unwholesome deeds. That's how this caste, this so-called caste of Brahmins appeared on this earth. That is not due to the fact that they were born from the mouth of the Mahabrahma. It is a complete lie. This is how this was originated. The so-called caste called Brahmins. So that's the origin. And the second one is the Kattiya. Pali word is Kattiya. Sanskrit word is Kshatriya. Well, to which even the Buddha belonged, because he is also from Kattiya caste, Kshatriya. Brahmins were on the top and they controlled everything. They had the right to study Vedas and teach Vedas, and they had almost every power and right in the society. And second were the Kshatriyas, those who did ruling or politics, those who were the kings, those who controlled and created laws and things. They were called Kshatriyas, Kattiya in Pali. And how this Kattiya caste came into being? Kettanang adipati iti Kattiyo. Ketta is a Pali word for field, mainly for the paddy field, the area people used for their agricultural things is called Ketta. And the caste is called Kattiya, because Kettanang adipati iti Kattiyo, the meaning is lord of the fields. Those who owned, if not those who looked after those paddy fields, were called Kattiya, because they engaged completely and totally in looking after those fields and growing and agricultural things like that. So because they were called lord of fields, therefore they were called Kattiyas, because they were the lord of Kettas. Ketta is the field. So that's how this Kattiya caste, this so-called Kattiya caste, originated, not due to the fact that they were born from the shoulders of the Mahabrahma. That's how this second caste came into being. And the third one is called Vesa or Vaishya in Sanskrit. Pali word is Vesa. Why they were called Vesa and how it originated? Metunan dhammang samadaya visukammante payojente iti ko vasetta Vesa. Visukammante payojente iti Vesa. Visukammanta means various trades. They engaged in trading, doing trades, various trade, not one thing, various things. Vesa means various. So because they engaged in various trades, they were called Vesa, Vaishya. Not due to the fact that they were born from the thighs of Mahabrahma. That's a complete lie. They were called Vesas because they engaged in various trades. And it generated like that and came to the present day. And even today they were called Vesa. That's how it originated, not from the thighs of the Mahabrahma. So that's the third one. And fourth one is Sudda or Shudra in Sanskrit. How they originated, how that caste, how that so-called caste came into being. Te sanyeva ko vasetta sattanang yete satta avasesa te luddachara kuddachara ahesu. Luddachara kuddachara tiko vasetta sudda. Luddachara and kuddachara, two Pali words. Luddachara and kuddachara. Luddachara kuddachara tiko vasetta sudda. Because they, the rest, the remaining group of people, one went to the forest and started doing meditation and things because they rejected unwholesome deeds. And second group of people looked after the fields. And they engaged in, you know, growing agricultural things and all. And third type of people engaged in trading, trades. They started trades. And the remaining group of people, they started doing huntings. They chase the animals and all in order to kill them. They engage in hunting. Luddachara, kuddachara means chasing animal or chasing someone. Because they were chasing animal and killing them, they were called suddhas. Not due to the fact that they were born from the foot of the Mahabrahma. It is a complete lie. So this is how this caste, this so-called suddha caste, this so-called caste called suddha, originated first, and it, you know, it came to the present day as well. This is how Buddha explains how these forecast, this so-called forecast, came into being, and he completely rejected. He categorically denied the teaching of the teachings of the Brahmin, saying that it is complete lie. And he asks questions from these two monks. When they said, Brahmin say, we were born from the mouth of the Mahabrahma and Kastiyas were born from the shoulders and so on and so forth. Buddha asked, Buddha says, we have seen Brahmin women. We have seen Brahmin women being pregnant. We have seen Brahmin pregnant women. And he asked, have you seen Brahmin pregnant women? They say, yes, we have seen. And have you seen Brahmin women giving birth to their children? They say, yes, we have seen Brahmin women giving birth to their children. And we have seen Brahmin women breastfeeding their children. So it is all natural. How can you say Brahmins were born from the mouth of the Mahabrahma? It is a complete lie. They are also born in the natural way from the mother's womb. And Buddha says all these things, and to explain more, he goes into detail and explains how all these so-called forecasts came into being in this Agganya Sutta. And that is the origin of forecasts. And apart from this Agganya Sutta, well, actually, this is not the only sutta that Buddha denies, rejects this so-called caste system, because it was, you know, very strong. Brahmins were very strong. Buddha, well, even Buddha were not able to completely deny it and completely, you know, create a society where there's no caste. The caste system exists even today. Well, not only in India, in every country, isn't it? More or less, it exists, it is present. So there are other teachings, other suttas where Buddha had rejected and had spoken against these caste systems. One such sutta is Asalayana Sutta in Majjhima Nikaya, sutta number 93, in which Buddha again uses a very good and very interesting simile to reject this so-called caste system of Brahmins. He says, Asalayana is a name of a person, very young person, who was 16 years old but very smart. He had learned all these three Vedas. At that time only there were three Vedas. This fourth one came later. He was very smart. He had learned all three Vedas and he had learned all grammar, everything in the vocabulary, and he was very smart person. One time there were a group of Brahmins, 100 Brahmins living near Savatthi, where Buddha lived, and they wanted, because Buddha was rejecting their idea of caste, they wanted somebody to fight with Buddha, to have a debate, to have a dispute with the Buddha, because Buddha was speaking against their caste system. So they selected this Vatsalayana, who was also a Brahmin but very smart one, very intelligent one, although he was 16 years old. And these Brahmins, these 100 Brahmins, went to him and asked him to go to the Buddha, because you are capable enough, you are smart, you are intelligent, you can debate with the Buddha. You can have a debate and you can prove that Brahmins are right, Buddha is wrong. And this Vatsalayana says, no, I can't go to the Buddha. Buddha is a person who teaches Dharma. So someone who teaches Dharma cannot be defeated with our teachings. He knew that, although he was a Brahmin, because he was intelligent, he knew that. And being insisted by these 100 Brahmins, finally he agrees, because he can't say no. They were saying again and again and again. So he said, okay, I will go to the Buddha and ask it. And he went to the Buddha and says to the Buddha that Brahmins are saying like this. The same thing comes in that sutta as well, what is in Agganya Sutta, all about these four castes. And in that sutta also, you can read, Buddha rejects and denies the teachings of this so-called caste system. And there's another sutta called Madhura Sutta, which is also in Majjhima Nikaya, sutta number 84, in which also Buddha denies this all four caste systems. And what Buddha says is that regardless of from which caste you are coming, if you do good deeds, as a result, you will have a good place as for your rebirth. You will be born in a good place. Those who do good deeds, those who do not kill, those who do not steal, those who do not have sexual misconduct, those who do not speak lies, those who do not use drugs and intoxicants, basically these five wholesome deeds and unwholesome deeds. Those who do good deeds will be born in good place. It doesn't matter from which caste you are coming from. If a Kshatriya or if a Brahmin has a good conduct, he will be born in a good place. Well, even though if you are a Brahmin, if you do these five unwholesome things, if you do killing, if you do stealing, if you do have a sexual misconduct, if you speak lies and if you use drugs and all these things, you will be, as a result of your bad deeds, you will be born in an unhappy realm. So that is the teaching of the Buddha. It doesn't matter from which caste you are coming. This is only a myth. Buddha says this is only a myth. This caste system and this so-called teaching is only a myth, and this is a complete lie. This is how it all happened, and this is how it all started to happen. So that is simply Buddha. That is what simply Buddha teaches in this Agganya Sutta, to deny the teachings about the caste of these Brahmins. And finally he says Dharma is the best thing. If you live according to the Dharma, you will have a better place for your rebirth. So that is simply how Buddha explained how all these things happened.
Thank you, Venerable Kassava. Now I think most of the factors relevant to the caste system Venerable Kassava explained. Now we are going to there's another things we find in this sutta, that is about the Buddhist political thinking. Then how the beginning of kinship explained in Akkanya Sutta. So I would like to ask to explain about it to Venerable Panyamas.
Well, Bhante, thank you for giving me the shorter section of the sutta. Well, basically, there's nothing much to actually say. I think Bhante Kassapa eloquently explained the crux of the sutta, and wow, Bhante, you did a very nice job. Okay, so the kingship, so after all of this tamasha, you know, going on about, you know, the caste, and which is really what the Akkanya Sutta is all about, you know, it's all about the Buddha's cheekiness, actually, which I will come to after this. So when all of these things happen with the bits and parts of evolution, people started to, you know, sort of have their own families. The people got together and they decided, okay, we need a leader, because people have now started to steal, people are getting violent, how are we going to solve these things, solve these issues? So people got together and they went to not the wisest, or, you know, they what they actually looked for is the person who was most handsome, you know, who looked the best. Because at the time, with the belief that the people had, we must understand what culture they would have been in. Obviously, their physical appearance was something which equated to how good they were, right, at the time. So they went to the most handsome, man. And they asked him, okay, you know, we have decided that you are suitable to lead us. Denounce the Pali word which is used there is kiyeya, right? Which is to say to sort of scold, reprimand, to put down a person who is worth putting down, right? So it was nothing, the context which was laid down to the king who was about to now be instated was not to say that, okay, kill or punish or, you know, not those things. He was appointed with asking him to sort of denounce, right? You are the person with authority to denounce, using words to put down a person mentally for the wrong that he or she would do. So that is about it, actually, you know. And then he's a Dhammic king. And he's a person who rules with Dhamma. That's where the word Raja comes up. Bhante Kassapa went on to explain how the word Shastriya arose. You know, then that's a continuation. So it is really, I have really got the shortest part of the sutta. So, but now let's come on to the juicy side, right? The sutta, this particular sutta, these classes of sutras are actually prime examples taken to explain about the Buddha's humor, right? How the Buddha was actually trying to just imagine. I mean, imagine this, but the Buddha wakes up or arises from his meditation. That's how the Buddha, the sutra starts, the Nidana. And then he calls upon these two Brahmins, Vasetta and Bharadwaja. Yeah? Vasetta and Bharadwaja. And, you know, he's like, come, oh friends, let's have a discussion. Go sits down with them and tells them all you know is lies. Which is actually like throwing a big, you know, a pot of mud onto a person's face, because these were hardcore Brahmin people. And I think if we've learned anything from what Bhante Kassapa has eloquently said, is never trust a Brahmin. I'm just kidding. So, but history would say otherwise. History would also say many instances where people were really into, you know, religion or protecting their religion. Even the Burmese have done the same thing. You know, they were so intense by the way that they were so devout towards Buddhism that they actually edited, and they wanted everything which was Buddhist to be under their name. So they stole from the Rakhine, they stole from the Shan. So anything that the Shan people did, the Rakhine people did, the Buddhists or the Burmese Buddhists, they put it under their name. I'm not sure whether Sri Lanka has done it. I've not heard that happening. But the Brahmins also, what they imagined the time that they were, you know, of the time, the Brahmins had a very established foundation in terms of religion all over the world, right? So their religion had really spread all around the world, and people knew them for Brahminism. And now this imposter, you know, who belongs to the Sakyan clan, comes and, you know, talks about something else and sort of puts down. So obviously we can understand the sort of the friction which was at the time, right? But there is a very interesting, the author who writes about Buddhist humor then negates that these particular sutras are actually done in a very cheeky fashion, to say how the Buddha was very cheeky in the way that he used his humor to sort of point out the truth, you know, so which is quite human of the Buddha, I would say. But that was written by an author named O. Flaherty. I think he was Scottish, I think, maybe. But that was a book in the 1970s. But later on, Venerable Sujato writes a very controversial statement on this sutta, right? And I remember when I had to write a term paper on this sutta when I was in university, I actually failed because I put this part into the term paper, because in Burma, obviously, they expect you to be very traditional, right? But I will read this to you. And this completely spins the way that we would understand the sutta, right? I will read it to you. Listen carefully, and you will see how this, you know, you'll understand it, right? All right, I'm going to read it to you, so listen carefully. All right, here we go, right? The world starts as watery, dark, and featureless as the womb. The radiant gods arrive like the bright spark of consciousness at the moment of conception. The tasty earth is like the mother's milk, for the earth was of old always the mother. The description is suitably milky. Because remember, you know, that molasses-like substance was a very milky, curdy substance. It was thick substance, buttery substance, right? The beings suck the stuff off their fingers like babies suckling their mother's breasts. Since the little one has now come out of the womb, the days and nights appear. Gradually, the food gets coarser, just as a growing child tries out a variety of coarser foods. But food still appears without work, as if by magic, thanks to mom and dad, of course, yeah? Their bodies get bigger and tougher. They lose their baby cuteness and look more and more different from each other. With adolescence, their sexual characteristics become more prominent. They play around with sex, and so they have to move into their own private dwellings like newlyweds. But now their food doesn't just appear. They must work for it. They take to farming, become landowners, and take an active role in politics. The exaggerated lifespan of the ancients, emphasized in the Chakravarti Singhanada Sutta, also reflects a child's perspective where mom and dad are giants, all-knowing and almighty, and apparently living forever. When such correlations are pointed out, those with a one-sided scientific mindset are wont in chortle with glee. See, it's all just the rehash of childhood memories. This response trivializes a vital dimension of width, myth. It is not just rehash of childhood memories. It is even rehash of childhood memories. This is a most intriguing fact, right? So there, if you understood, he totally puts a different spin on the whole sutta to say that this is, you know, a rather explanation of the childhood sort of experiences that we go on. And it does beautifully sit on the sutta, or the parts of the suttas, which is quite poetic of Venerable Sujato, but to what extent we can accept it, I can't say, right? Probably a reason I failed that term paper. So, then of course you go to scholars like, who is a Cambridge scholar? Gombrich. Professor Gombrich, who says that this sutta is completely satire, and he completely sort of denounces the authenticity of the sutta, and only sort of goes on to say that this sutta is only in a way to say that the Hindu or the Brahmin beliefs at the time are not realistic, that it is false, and you know that it is that the sutra is only to the only important or the believable factor of the sutta is found within the caste system explanation, right? So that is about it, actually, right? That is about it. Bhante?
I understand Bhante Panyavans' point of view. That's also acceptable from my personal point of view. Bhante Sujato. But at the same time, if you really consider the scientific evolution, it's all started with a world full of water, right? So it's in line with the actual evolution. And again, this sutta is almost indicating what Chandra Vikramasinghe and Professor Hoyle has actually put forward. That means the actual life has come from outside. So the Abhasara is probably what Professor Hoyle has been talking about, the actual the origin of life has come from outside, but we don't know from where, and but there's some link. The third point I would like to actually point one is actually if you consider Abhasara as an organism, then how can you say that Abhasara tasted the earth with finger? Because that means it has got a body, fully developed body. So Abhasara can't taste earth with his finger, and so definitely there's some problem with translation.
Well, when you read not only this sutta, any of the suttas, there are some points and some words you shouldn't take literally, right? Now, in this sutta, there comes in the middle of the sutta when those beings first found two people engaged in sex, they started insulting them verbally, and then started they started throwing dust, cow dung. Now, there comes the problem, were there cows, right? From where they came then, right? So when you take literally those things, well, I asked that question from one of my teachers. So it says, from Abhasara there came the beings. So from where cow came, for them to find cow dung. So he said, well, the answer is you shouldn't take some words literally, right? So there is a meaning. It tells you that they did everything to, you know, look down upon those beings for their action, right? So, well, if you want further, you know, explanation, we can go to the commentaries and, you know, and sometimes, yes, there are problems is with translation when you translate from one language to another, right? So, yes, we can't depend on the literal meaning. It means something, so we should take the meaning.
And another thing with doctors, Veera's question is that if you go into the specific details of what the being from Avasra looked like, it is not to say that it was like sort of only mind. No, the mention or what is mentioned is this person, you can't say he or she, isn't it? This person had a humanly figure that we would call now, right? And they also had a gleaming sort of radiance radiating from their bodies. Everyone looked very similar, right? And it was as if also that they were like floating, right? Because they looked so graceful, you know, they looked, you know, so just remind yourself of an angel that you saw seen on TV or something like that, you know. So that is the image which was portrayed. So there is, so if we come to the fingers or whatnot, there might have been fingers, you know. So because it is not said that this was like a sort of a just a mind, right? Because now if we go a little bit into the other sutras, like the Brahmajala Sutra, the Mahasinghanada Sutta, where, and you sort of collect those sort of points and information as well, then you go into, okay, this is not the first time that this has happened, right? And this world, that this composition of this earth, right, is naturally a place where people would be attracted towards the norms of sensual pleasure, right? So whatever it is, even if these Brahmas from the Avasra plane, right, these humans, right, these new age humans, if they were even meditating, however, with time they will come to sort of experience sensual pleasures. That is a norm that which governs this sort of arena. Whereas in the Avasra plane, it's different. The pull there will always be for them to meditate. The pull there will always be for them to sort of, you know, it's like in Sri Lanka, if you're born in Sri Lanka, you will eat pol sambola. You know, you will eat rice and curry. You know, you can have all the wealth in the world, but you will do that. You know? You know, but if you go into, you know, some other place, okay, if you're born into the Rothschilds, you know, there is a level of understanding that you can understand, and these working class fellows' problems, they will never understand that, right? So, you know, exercising and, you know, all of these, you know, petty issues, they will not even be able to conceive that because of the level of pleasure. I mean, think about it, isn't it? Because the level of pressure that they are sort of attracted to, that their world is governed by. So it is something like that. But to know, when you sort of study that cross-analysis of these sort of planes, you understand that each plane sort of has an essence, right? Like this world has a karma. Every baby that is born out of you, whether you know, even if you lock it in a dark room and sort of, you know, throw the key away, that baby will grow up to have lust, to have anger, to have delusion, right? You might feed the baby with the best organic things, or you might read the baby all the wise literature in the world, yet he will have delusion. He will have, that is the pull of the plane that we are in. And there is something like that, apparently.
I'm sorry to put a spanner in the works. If you believe this Avasras came, either as harbingers to the earth, or were born with the same features as harbingers, then you will have to completely rewrite Abhidhamma. Because according to Abhidhamma, if you are in harbingers Brahma world, you don't have taste buds. You have only the ears and the eyes. You don't have taste buds, you don't have any touch feelings, and you don't have any smell feelings. Right? So you can't taste the earth if you don't have the mouth and the taste buds. And also, the other thing is, I think this is a little bit that has been put in by the Brahmin priest, who became Buddhist priest, to corrupt this sutra, because I think what the Buddha said is this: look, in the human development, when people became agriculturists, before that, when they were hunter-gatherers, they moved in small groups. When they became agriculturists, they became large groups and started agriculture. Then people started stealing. Then they started lying, saying, "I didn't steal." And then they had to appoint somebody to rule. That is how the Kattiyas came. And what Buddha wanted to point out was that the Kattiyas came before the Brahman. If you read the sutra carefully, you will see first person appointed was Mahasammatha Kattiya. And therefore the Kattiyas were the first. Because at that time, during the Buddha's time, there was a big argument going on whether the Kattiyas or the Brahmins were the better caste. And therefore, Buddha wanted to show that Kattiyas were the first to be appointed. Then when these controversies came up, some people went away to the jungles and became Brahmins. And all the others who started doing various trades, like making weapons, various things, became Vaisyas, and those who continued hunting became Sudra. I think that is what he wanted to show. This part about the beginning of the world, I don't think Buddha was very keen to show about beginning of the world. I think this was added by the Brahmins to show that it's the Brahmins who came to the earth, and that when they came, they already had the caste system. That is how it came up. Otherwise, this Ahabhasara coming up and tasting is completely against Abhidhamma. And if they were born, then they couldn't have been luminescent and floating again if they were born with all the sensory organs. So I think you have to take with a pinch of salt this part of the sutra. And also the other thing is this about the sex and all these things appearing before, because the body became gross and all that. That tallies with the normal natural scientific explanation of the evolution. First the water was there, and then the land came up, then the life started, and then the life became more complicated, and then they started eating things, and from the water animals became land animals, and even the mushrooms appeared first. That is scientific, before the green plants appeared. And then they started eating and all these things, and the development went off. We know that 98% of our DNA tallies with that of the monkeys. So we can't dispute the fact that we evolved from monkeys. I don't think Buddha tried to explain that Brahmas came and do this. I think we have to take that part with a pinch of the soul. Pinch of soul.
Yes, just to reply to that, Doctor, we do not in any way, I don't think we've told anything against whatever you mentioned as well. It doesn't say that beings from Abhasara plane attained a rebirth in that form. It doesn't say that. What it says is that the beings... No. They disappeared from there. They disappeared from there and reappeared in a human form. Right? But this human form, but this human form is a human form more pure, more beautiful, more lustrous, and more Prabhaswara than what we know now, because the result, of course, is out of hundreds of years, I mean millions and millions of years of eating, isn't it? Right? So there is no doubt about it. But so it is not to say that the devas or the deities or the Abhasa plane beings disappeared from there and reappeared in this state. But they did reappear in a human form. Am I right, Mantikasa? Of course I am. So Yeah. Luminous beings. And these luminous beings are what we later come to say humans. Right? So these luminous beings, they go through a gradual change of evolution, allowing or bringing them to the place that they are right now. Right? Yeah, could be. Or maybe they have already had fingers. Yeah, obviously now, just imagine. Now you will come to London Buddhist Vihara, you will listen to the Dhamma for 2 hours, and then slowly you will go and have a biscuit. You know, if you come in and go to the kitchen straight away, there is something wrong with you. Sorry, Sheena? No, we must also understand this science and Buddhism argument, or this science and Buddhism, this talk that we have, is just like the conversation of whether coconut oil is good for you or not, right? It only depends on how much people are investing on for you to say that it's good, and then sometime after people say it's bad. So now there are a lot of things which were said in science long time ago which are now proven otherwise now, because obviously science is changing. Right, so people did not believe that the heart had any sort of effect on the brain. Now they've discovered otherwise. Right, so there are so much of things that, you know, and in Abhidhamma, you know, it clearly states that the heart has a predominant, or the heart has a main role in the process of consciousness, which we did not believe. Right, but now we have. So I don't think it is a fair argument to put that, you know, just because science doesn't say this, you know, that it is wrong. You know, it wouldn't be right to say that. But yes. Rupa not coarse.
Yeah.
Rupa which is not coarse. Now the 28 rupa, 27 rupas will then be there, right? Yeah. But it's not coarse, right? Like for example, now this is a hard solid, right? Then there is air which is a light solid, right? And this which is a, right? It's like that. So rupa which is not coarse, but the 28 rupas are existent.
Maybe
Kalogrina happened, and then the world is formed again, if we take a whole, you know, Japan, right? And then this is the time when people sort of start returning to the Mangala Chakra, to the Mangala Chakra, that is the blessed universe, apparently, because this is the universe where Buddha is alive, right? So this is a time when people from outside start coming in, right? So obviously, I mean, there is also the potential that people from outside this universe could be sort of flowing in as well.
But Manti, I have a question.
Well, yes.
I liked your take on the last interpretations of the sutta.
That was not my take.
Not
that
your take. Your reading of other people.
Yeah.
Could it be that there are kind of two meanings to all of these suttas? Because it seems to me that the Buddha's concern is our thought process and how to cleanse our thought process. So I could say that in the beginning there was darkness, and I could say I know who created the universe. I created the universe. I'm the creator, because first there was nothing, and then slowly I came out. I was conceived, then I came out of my mother's womb. More of my senses got evolved, and I opened my eyes, there was light. So as my thought processes developed, so I was kind of reborn again and again. Day after day, I was reborn as a different being to evolve into what I am today. So, I mean, the suttas are targeted to various audiences. Do you think that all of the suttas have got this double meaning behind them?
Well, I don't think it's a double meaning. I think it's just an interpretation of how Venerable Sujata says it. Now, I've heard people sort of in with the 31 planes, people explain the 31 planes as sort of a series of the human life on Earth as well. You know, so I don't think it's just takes that people would have, you know, but I wouldn't think that the Buddha would be so poetic, right? You know, you using all these poetic type, you know, forms of literature to explain something like this, you know. It could be, there are of course sort of places where there would be, you know, the Buddha would say hundreds of thousands, millions, right? Then it doesn't, you know, it could literally mean many, you know. So, but then there are also places where then the Buddha would go to say an exact number, right? For example, when in the Mahavaggapali, when the Buddha says the sasana would last for 10,000 years, you know, people thought that, okay, this is just sort of like a, you know, just a number to say the sasana would last for long. But actually, no, it is a designated number, 10,000, right? So there are sort of, you know, you must understand, I think you need a good sort of an understanding of Pali, right? And not just Pali made easy Pali, right? I'm talking like Katayana Moggallana, isn't it? You know, a good sort of handle of Pali to be able to really understand, you know, it's like a, you know, we clearly understand in English or Sinhala, when a person makes an underhanded compliment, we understand that emotion, the way that it is said, the culture, we understand it, isn't it? Right? Because we have such kind of feel. So, although now we might not have that kind of a feel over Pali, there are people who have that kind of a feel of Pali, right? Where they, so then they would understand the emotion which is carried by the Pali itself, by the way that it is written. So, Lux, I do not believe that, you know, there would be such a sort of a, isn't it? Because it's like the stars and the, you know, earth. It's such a interpretation which is so far apart from one another. And then going to what this gentleman spoke of, you know, to say that this might be something that the Brahmins had it over. I don't think, like, I don't think that's a safe place to go to. Because where are you going to stop? Right? Everything that you sort of can't put your head around, or everything that you believe otherwise, is then apparently going to be something which is a Brahminated thing. You know? So where are we going to stop? So we have to have some sort of faith in the teaching to say, look here, I mean, this is not the end of the world, right? This is not the end of the world. People, you know, in Buddhism, it says the world is flat, right? So, the human realm is flat. That's what it says in Buddhism. Whether the world is like a pancake or whether the world is like a ping pong ball is not going to deter me from attaining nirvana. It's just a very trivial explanation to, you know, something. But the crux of the teachings is far more. The crux of this teaching is what Bhantakasapa spoke about, right? So we don't need to really go into, you know, make this, you know, take it out of proportion, blow it out of proportion, and create a whole satire drama here. You know, it is just to say, and to go into that place to say that, okay, this might be something which is added on by the Brahmins, because then there is going to be no stop. People tried this with Venerable Buddha Ghosa. Right, people try to say, I mean, still I think people who've never read the Visuddhimagga or any of Venerable Buddha Ghosa's work would go on to say that Venerable Buddha Ghosa did this, that he was a scoundrel, that he's a scumbag, that he ruined the Dhamma and all of that. But you ask that person whether he has properly read the Pali Visuddhimagga, he has probably not. And if that person read it, he sees Venerable Buddha Ghosa, have you read it? He says, right, he would mention what the Buddha or what the practice is about, and when he has a comment about it, he would say, but I believe in this way. And that is clearly. So to say, if Venerable Buddha Ghosa was going to be the big boss in a way to say, okay, no, this is my book, I'm going to write it in the way that I want, then he wouldn't have added that description under everything like a footnote to say, but I believe this. Yeah, you get it. You get my point. Right, so it's like he gives the place of the Buddha to the Buddha, the place of the disciples to the disciples, and he gives himself a place as an author who is authoring a book, and he puts it down on the footpage. I do not think that we have enough evidence, because I think when Bhante's friend, that Sinhala man, who's the Sinhala man you went with yesterday? Aruna. When Aruna gave the talk here, people asked Aruna, right, you remember Aruna? Yeah, from Swat. People ask Aruna whether there is evidence in the Sutta. Now, Aruna is a person who is eloquent in the use of Pali, isn't he, Bhante? Right? He can speak, he can read, he can write, right? It's like Sinhala to him, right? But he, having studied and having doing a PhD in Pali, said that there is no evidence. And that is what every scholar would say. There is no evidence to say that the Pali of or the text of the Theravada tradition, right, has been manipulated in any way. There is no proof whatsoever. But of course, if you want an excuse to satisfy yourself and go to sleep at night, be my guest. I am aware of Renukhana Sangha. Yeah. 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 Yeah, this Aghane Sutta also has a Sanskrit Sanskrit sutra. Written by Vasudeva, right? And that is also there, right? But where is this going to stop? Right? Now even if you take Venerable Buddhadatta, right, who was an eminent Pali scholar of the time, you know, Venerable Buddhadatta, do you know Venerable Buddhadatta? Polvate Buddhadatta, right? Renowned scholar, read Pali. He also attended the Chattasangayana. But his name is also mentioned in the Chattasangayana as one of the people who have wrong views, Michchadittikas, along with the head of the Pali Tech Society, what's his name? Ray Davis. Rhys Davies, right, to say that they had Michcha Ditika, because Venerable Buddhadatta's life is then divided into, for his scholarly work, because he was such a scholar, into pre-Rhys Davies and post, because after he came to know, the president of the Paltek Society, his views changed drastically, right? So whatever it is, whether Renukan Chandra Vimala Bante said it or any of these other monks said it or whatever, the Buddha has also, in the Attakatha, there is a mentioning of the Guru or the respect for the doctrine and in what line it should be given. So the first is the Buddha, the second is then the Shravakas, then comes the, so there is the Attakathas, the Tikas, the Tippanis, and then the Sangraha going on. Renukane and all of these venerables' books comes into the Sangraha level, right? So, according to Dhamma, you have to give more priority. There is a lining, right? So just because some odd bhikkhu writes something, practice it. It doesn't seem, now for example, Doctor, the vibration that I'm getting from you, surely mentions that you need to practice a bit also, So, probably that is why you're taking it out of,